Blog Talk Radio.
Tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit them.
Right.
And anyway, you got your opinion on this, sir?
Yeah, but I got to. They jacked this bill. We're going to have to play that again for these people.
All right.
Well, what happened was Obama makes free speech a felony bill. So basically, they just kept us off the air for 6 minutes. But Obama makes free speech a felony. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this for the people that...
It's worth hearing again.
Exactly.
I wish people could have heard this before.
Well, it's a bill that has received very little attention but may make free speech a felony and seriously restrict your right to political protest. Just signed into law by the president, H.R. 347 gives federal agents sweeping powers to arrest and bring felony charges against citizens engaged in protests where the Secret Service is present. Joining us now with more, Fox News senior judicial analyst, good friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, the thing that jumps out off the page, felony?
Yeah, felony means more than a year in jail. This is not like a traffic ticket. For standing and protesting, the type of thing that for 230 years Americans took for granted because it was protected by the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, has actually been abridged. But legislation the president signed last Thursday, supported overwhelmingly by both parties, with very, very little public debate and very little debate in Congress, basically allows Secret Service agents to decide where there are no free speech zones, not speech zones, no free speech zones. And anybody by the Secret Service can, protected by the Secret Service, can ask those agents to ban protests wherever they are. So I can think of three violations: speech violations, association violations, the right to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. What good is free speech if the people in the government are so far away from you that they can't hear you?
Judge, what about keeping our elected officials safe?
Keeping our elected officials safe is entirely different from insulating them from protest. The fact that the president is going to a hotel up the block should not bar you from standing across the street with a sign or with a bullhorn saying what you think about the president's policies. That is not a threat to him, and it is a part of American history since day one that we have the right to speak freely to, about, and against those in the government.
Okay, so do you think this is going to be one of those laws that is on the books, but...
Oh, man. See, here they go. Doing this shit again, Bill. Fucking guys. This is what...
All right, now when we quit, we hang up, we go home, we sit here together, we make this work.
We make it work.
All right, then. Here we go.
...to decide where there are no free speech zones, not speech zones, no free speech zones, and anybody by the Secret Service can, protected by the Secret Service, can ask those agents to ban protests wherever they are. So I can think of three violations: speech violations, association violations, the right to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. What good is free speech if the people in the government are so far away from you that they can't hear you?
Judge, what about keeping our elected officials safe?
Keeping our elected officials safe is entirely different from insulating them from protest. The fact that the president is going to a hotel up the block should not bar you from standing across the street with a sign or with a bullhorn saying what you think about the president's policies. That is not a threat to him, and it is a part of American history since day one that we have the right to speak freely to, about, and against those in the government.
Okay, so do you think this is going to be one of those laws that is on the books but not enforced?
I think it's one of those laws that's going to be enforced whether the government wants it enforced. The problem, Eric, is it puts a lot of unbridled discretion in the hands of Secret Service agents who may very well say, you know what, boss, you've had a rough day. We'll keep everybody away from you. Or, you know what, boss, this crowd likes you, so we're going to let them. We're going to let you hear them. That's suppressing speech on the basis of its content. And that has been expressly prohibited by the First Amendment since day one.
What dictates the Secret Service is present? In other words, aren't they present all over Washington, D.C.?
Well, they are, and that's a great question, because this law also allows the president to give Secret Service protection to whoever he wants. I'll give you a bizarre example. His campaign managers are coming to Washington to confer with him about the campaign. He can give them Secret Service protection. And then the Secret Service can say to the kids in the streets, you can't shout at David Axelrod, because the campaign manager, because the Secret Service is protecting him. This is a slow, creeping destruction of some of of our basic liberties, and the president signed it in secret.
And now some of the Secret Service are going to be providing services for the candidates now as well.
Correct.
Right? So
correct.
People aren't going to be able to have their opinion about the candidates?
If the Secret Service so declares, you won't be able to shout at
Judge, got
to
go.
Believe that shit, Bill.
I, as an American citizen, as a veteran, cannot sit outside and tell my government I'm against something. It's now going to be illegal. If the Secret Service ascertains, it's going to be illegal. I said this before so many times, I'm sure you guys are tired of me saying it. If my grandparents who are dead were awakened today, look around, they would not know they're in America. It changed that much as my grandparents have dead.
Basically.
Now, Philip and I are talking about this today because we're not asking you to go out and protest. It's too damn late. We're asking you just be a little bit indignant about it. Just be a little bit mad that once again you went to sleep and you woke up and more of your rights were just taken away from you.
Happening every day, Bill. So, like, right now we got Angel in the chat room from North Carolina.
All right.
We got Fran from San Diego. Nicole from San Diego. Nina, who's in the Canary Islands in Spain.
Oh, I like that actress.
Yeah. And then Art, who's in Poway.
Well, let's get rid of that guy, Art. I like the rest of those girls' names. I don't know what that Art guy did. He don't sound real friendly.
And Fran says, hi, all. They were always trying to take our right. They got our freedom.
You know, I am a veteran, as you are a veteran, sir.
That's correct.
You're a family man. I want this listed publicly. I have protested every single conflict, every single war since the Vietnam War. I have publicly protested that until we sent the first American overseas to fight in this war or conflict or police action, whatever semantics we used to use. I will protest every war in the future unless somebody's stupid enough to bomb us, like in World War II in Hawaii. It is my right to say I don't want to send American youth overseas. I will protest that. I don't want to see my sons and daughters, my nephews, my cousins. I don't want to see them going overseas. But once the first one goes, I want everybody to get behind them. That's how I feel about our military.
We got a caller, Bill. This caller is 514 from Canada. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
What do you think of that kid? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Well, Bill's got an important question for you.
Pardon?
Bill has an important question for you.
It's probably too early.
Oh, it's too early?
Okay, what's the question?
Are you wearing socks?
No. Lord, no.
No, okay.
No, I don't wear socks.
Okay.
So you heard what they said they took away from us now. What do you think of that?
I'm glad you're in Canada.
Getting. Yeah. No, that's a little ridiculous. No. If you can't voice your opinion.
It's true.
To your government, it's, you know, that's even worse. You're supposed to be able to go to them and tell them, you know, that this is our opinion. We're the ones who are supposed to be ruling them, not the other way around.
If you're so insecure you cannot handle rebuttal, maybe you shouldn't have a job as a politician. A politician has to listen to both sides and then...
Well, they're supposed to. But obviously they're trying to cut that off because they only want one side.
Right. I'm sitting here in California. I am a hard Republican, and yet I know my next president of this great country will be a Democrat. I have always said that whoever is president, we as Americans have to get behind them. But the whole system is cracking around me. I don't want to quite match this up to like the great empire of Rome. It was indestructible, but it kept cracking and cracking. And every time another law gets passed, I feel like another breath of air is taken away from me. I love this country. I've always said this is the best country in the world. I've also stated many, many, many times, I really don't like this government. And nothing I can do about it.
Well,
except get out and vote.
Well,
you know, get my own
yeah, you know, Bill, we went to Yuma over the weekend.
And Lordy, it was hot.
Kind of got hotter, too. And what happened was we were going to the hotel, and I caught the light. Bernie didn't catch the light. Bernie made a right turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I flipped a U, went after him. I, in the meantime, while I'm waiting to do this because the light to change, he's driving around the parking lot with Homeland Security following him in the white Suburban. So he's driving around the parking lot. He's looking for a place to get out.
Yeah.
So he spots the disabled crosswalk. So he drives through it. Well, they get pissed off because they had to back up and go around. When he made the right turn, they followed right behind him. They got into left lane. I got into right lane. I pulled up between the two cars in the Suburban, and I swung behind Bernie, and I hollered, "Let's go." And we took off and made a right turn down the freeway. They literally smoked the tires, Bill, to go around that corner to get in front of me. So
to pull Bernie over?
No, they pulled me over.
Oh, pulled you? Okay, so go over to get around. Okay, all right.
They went around Bernie.
I don't know. I'm asking.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, because you guys were you guys went the other way, but yeah. So I'm sitting there, and they get out, start talking, and the next thing I know, we're getting questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm getting questioned. I think Bernie got pissed off because they didn't question him. So the guy asked me, he said, "Well, who's the county boys or country boys?" I said, no, county boys. "Well, who are they?" I said, "They're a bunch of firemen out of L.A. "Well, who's he?" Go back and ask him. So the guy starts talking to me. I give him my license, registration, proof of insurance. I tell him I'm going to unzip my jacket and go in my pocket, you know. The next question is, "Do you have any weapons?" Well, in the meantime, I get off my bike on the left side. He told me to walk around. But he told me to go the front way, mm-hmm. not the back way, because he didn't want me to touch the hammer. So the guy walks back to talk to Bernie while this guy's talking to me. It comes back on the radio that I'm clean. He asked Bernie, he said, "Well, who are the country boys?" Bernie said, "Fuck no, county boys. We're firemen. Are you guys planning on opening a chapter in Arizona?" And Bernie said, "Does this look like L.A.?" That was the extent of the conversation with him. And then Bernie asked
me. We just as soon as we got to Yuma, Arizona. We're only there like 15 minutes.
Exactly.
I'll be down.
And then he asked me a couple. The other guy asked me a few questions. And then he asked me what I did for a living. And I told him. And I said, "Here." And I showed him my ID from the government. And he swiped that in their little reader. And it came back and told him that I had a clearance and all that shit. So he's like, "Well, what do you do?" And I told him. And then what I said first was, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me.
No.
So I told him, and they didn't believe me. They wanted to know what I did to have a top secret clearance. So anyway, long story short, the guy says to Bernie asked him, "What, are you going to give him a ticket or what?" Now, Bill, did you know Homeland Security can give out tickets?
No, I don't know why I didn't hear about this. You didn't mention this to me. I'm shocked that
I'm holding it in my hand.
Yeah.
What does it say? Warning, equipment repair order.
That's right.
Violation was splitting traffic, Bill.
Oh, yeah, Arizona. That's a serious no-no.
But all I did was, the light was red. I just pulled up next to Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't circumvent anything, and I didn't think I was splitting a lane by, but I guess because I passed those two cars to get to him and make the right, I was splitting lanes.
Well, I have a feeling I should share with you. When we split up, and because we went to different hotels, I stayed at a hotel, and there was a group of motorcyclists from Las Vegas, and I want to give them a nice plug. They were the Iron Crossmen out of Las Vegas, and I have to say this because while you're getting hassled, these guys brought some dancers in with them,
uh-huh.
And there was one little tiny dancer. Oh, lordy, 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 lordy. But you know what? I'll just let you think about that. I had a tough time.
Is that why when I called you in the morning, you said, "Oh, it's bullshit"?
No, don't get shit.
No, you don't want me to say that? Okay, I won't say it. Sure, I can tell everybody.
So you were getting harassed. I was just getting my, Anyway, I want to thank the Iron Crossmen of Las Vegas, Nevada for their hospitality. They invited me to come over invited you to come over also for Las Vegas run.
Right.
Also invited us for a nice dinner, so that was kind of nice. And we met quite a few nice friends of ours that met us in Arizona. Again, I want to say hello to everybody. That was kind of nice. I hope some of the people listening to us made the Arizona run. And if you hadn't, Philip and I will see everybody in Las Vegas. That's my next run.
Right.
We got some small runs on the agenda, but, you know, nothing big.
But, yeah, you know.
I hope everybody makes Las Vegas.
So, yeah. So what's going on?
I'm with dancers, and you're getting a ticket. What a way to start the day.
Exactly. Well, you know, sometimes they get the good stuff. Sometimes you get the good stuff.
You know, it's how it rolls.
But, yeah, I asked this guy. I said, hey, what is this? He goes, oh, no, it's just a warning. We're giving all the bikers in California just warnings.
No, that's
no, they didn't really. That was just bullshit.
That was information collecting with a probable cause.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. They did. I'm sure they didn't care diddly squat about it, because they were eyeballing Bernie, because, you know, on his bagger,
he's got the rockers.
Yeah, he's got. But you can't see what the bottom says.
Right.
The way he was sitting. But they jumped on that jack.
We should talk about something negative for a quick second. We had 6 accidents on the way out there to the Arizona bike run, and I know one fatality, maybe 2, I'm not sure. But
I know one for sure.
Yeah, one for sure, maybe 2. The rest of us were all we had severe winds that pushed the bikes over. One pickup truck didn't have his some luggage or a box wasn't tied down secure. It went off the back of the truck and took a bike out. Another guy ran over a 4x4 that fell off a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Another, I heard a car got buffeted by the winds. It went into the next lane, hit a bike, and the bike went off the road. So
right.
That was...
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we're putting a lot of motorcycles together, so the statistics are going up, the numbers are going up, and the amount of accidents are going up. Coming back to California, not one accident, so...
No. But, you know, Bill, it's any time you get a bunch of people like that all together and everybody's riding around everybody, shit happens.
It was freaking hot.
Yeah.
I got to tell you,
it was freaking hot and temperatures.
Yeah, 105 to 110, I heard. I
also,
know.
People...
Okay. Stop rubbing it in.
No. It was hot.
It's only like 40.
Yeah, it was 98 in the shade.
That was bad.
Well, I got a question from Nina, Bill.
Yes,
Nina. She wanted to know our audience attendance tonight. So we've got Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, Russia, Denmark, New Zealand, Portugal.
Portugal, I like Portugal.
Brazil, China, we got our 15 guys. Yesterday we had
17.
Yesterday
oh
we had 17.
God. You're so Chinese people. I got to say this right now. You know, I always respected you Chinese people. You know, I can't stand your government. But that's not China. I like China. I like the people. I want to get that clear. I like the Chinese people.
We got Brazil, China, New Zealand, France, Russia, and the United Kingdom and Germany, Bill, as well as Indonesia.
I've never been in Indonesia.
As well as Japan.
I was supposed to be in Japan a couple of years ago, and they had an earthquake.
Denmark and...
You know, I'm in Denmark a lot, so... Yeah.
Russia.
Yeah. We have a lot of new motorcycle riders in Russia. It's growing quite big, I understand.
That's correct.
A couple of years ago when I was in Finland, I was trying to take the land bridge into Russia, and they wouldn't let me in there. They said they were so out of control about 5 years ago that the government questioned my safety. So
right.
They've come a long way in the past 5 years.
To answer your question about Spain, it was 25 right now.
Spain. I've been to Spain 2 or 3 times. That's some nice weather. That is nice everything up there.
Yeah, it says Nora sent me a message, but I can't read it. So I don't know what's going on. But warning, if you just heard a gunshot, that's because I'm reloading.
I have an interesting couple. My brother and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. I have a young man, mid-20s, from Germany. He was in yesterday. He's come by tomorrow to pick a bike and ship it over to Brumberg. And he met and fell in love with this girl from Tijuana. The girl is drop-dead gorgeous. So they're married. She's a German citizen. Now they come back and forth and all that. But young man buying and selling motorcycles, shipping them back and forth. Did I mention his wife was drop-dead gorgeous?
Yes.
Okay. Happy when he came in, my brother Michael was there, and I just gave him my brother Michael because... The lady and I needed to share conversation. We had dialogue.
Yeah, sure.
Dialogue is communication between two people, you know.
Absolutely.
And she was so overwhelmed that when I spoke everything about Tijuana, I knew all the streets and everything. She goes, oh, my God. So it was kind of nice, the conversation. And we sold a motorcycle. So it's your Germans, Dunker.
So, yeah, basically, Bill, you know.
We made it through the weekend, though.
We made it through the weekend.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, that one thing I was reading here a minute ago, let me pull it up for you. Well, this one, you can give peace a chance, but I'll cover you in case it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Walk softly and carry a big stick. President Teddy Roosevelt.
Exactly.
You know, I'd like to point out that you weren't sure because of schedule whether or not you could go to Yuma. So I went and booked rooms, and then by the time you got your fares together, my hotel was booked.
I
went out and used all of my input, and I found you a hotel at the Wyndham, one of the most prestigious hotels in there. You pay, because of my discount to a friend of mine, allows you $7.25 more a night to stay in a goddamn suite, and I'm staying at the Roach Motel. But as long as my friends are happy, that's all right with me, I guess.
Well, you know, Bill,
next year I'm staying
at the Wyndham. It's like us. You know, we don't regret getting older, okay?
Yeah.
Well, we know too many people that have never had that privilege.
That's the reason we appreciate getting older. That's why I don't mind. My friends are well taken care of because, you know, I have so few friends left. I have more friends I have more people I call brothers in the cemetery than I have on the street. And I know thousands of people. But I have more people that I call brothers that are dead, buried in the cemetery. Times have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back from Yuma. All right,
we're back from Yuma.
Yeah.
And
went to the fairgrounds, had a good time. It was so damn hot, no fights. It was so damn hot, no clubs walked around with an attitude. Everybody was just happy to set more to
pour over. We ran into Nicole while out there.
Yes.
And then
it was nice to meet our Long Beach friends in person, in face and all that.
Exactly.
And that was Sue and I forgot.
Mark,
yeah. I don't know if you guys are listening tonight, but we enjoyed your company very much. Mark had some beach bars on his motorcycle, and I hope he thinks about changing them for the future because I know those damn beach bars after 200-300 miles will really get to him.
You know, like Fran says, cute question, what happened to those bikers, the drivers that killed the biker? They never caught him.
I heard different stories about that. I heard they fled the scene.
They fled the scene, but
yeah.
They never caught him.
No, I...
And then Nina from Spain says that we have a very international crew.
We're an eclectic group. We're also pretty schizophrenic, but, you know, dysfunctional.
And Fran, we always think about you, Fran. I send you the message so you could be here earlier than at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But where's this? Oh, here. I got this the other day, Bill. I played this, and my uncle sent this. So I'd just like you to read what my uncle wrote about this, and then we'll play it, Bill, because somebody asked me today about this.
It moved me all around here. Where are we? Up here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right here.
Way up here?
Yeah.
Okay. You got this thing blocking me now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just tell me when I can talk. You got the stupid things in my way.
No.
All right. You moved it.
This is the government.
I didn't get to say nothing now.
Government.
Stop. Hang on. No, it's not us.
We've had more people request this.
Yes.
And I hope you guys aren't getting bored, but so many people really, really request this. It seems to bring a smile to people's face. This is a... And I'll use the exact language how this gentleman describes himself. He's a pissed-off black guy. This is a riot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is adult language, very adult language. So if you're a little prudish, put your hands over your ears.
Or your fingers.
Everybody else, just have a good time.
Okay, here we go.
This is to the government, the United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. So we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook? A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit. We've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks.
Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's slow, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got... It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking... I'm pissed the fuck. I can't...
Never gets old.
It doesn't. And we want to thank your uncle from Chicago, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, by the way, in Chicago?
Well, Bill, the government.
What the hell's going on in... Listen to this, boys and girls, and especially your uncle in Chicago.
Okay. Planning to evacuate Chicago, Bill.
Did you hear that? And why are they going to do that,
sir? If you didn't hear it, I'll tell you again.
One more time, please.
A couple of weeks ago, I reported about the urban warfare training that was going on in downtown Los Angeles.
Please.
Okay, now it's going on in downtown Chicago, Bill.
What are they going to do in Chicago?
Well, basically what they're going to do is now there are growing fears that those drills were in preparation for major problems during next month's NATO summit. A leaked email from the Milwaukee Red Cross is warning that government officials are actually planning to evacuate Chicago.
Okay, this is not no bullshit. We are telling you the facts right off the wall.
Facts. I'm putting the link in the chat room for you guys right now. That's
you
why
people
I'm...
in Chicago, you may be in the wrong city at the wrong time.
As unlikely as it may sound, CBS News in Chicago is reporting that government officials in the Secret Service and Department of Homeland Security are secretly planning for the possibility of having to evacuate Chicago. Channel 2 News has obtained a copy of the email sent to volunteers from the Milwaukee area branch of the American Red Cross. The email warns volunteers that the NATO summit may create unrest or another national security incident. The American Red Cross in southeastern Wisconsin has been asked to place a number of shelters on standby in the event of an evacuation of Chicago. The Red Cross claims that the directive came directly from the city of Chicago and its Secret Service.
Let's just talk about that for a second, boys and girls.
And there's a video that goes with this, so I'll play the video.
Okay, then we'll talk about
it
after that.
Tonight, CBS2 has learned there may be a secret plan to evacuate Chicago in case of big trouble at the NATO summit next month. The Red Cross in Milwaukee.
I hate when they do that. Exactly.
If anybody's saying about bombing...
Tonight, CBS2 has learned there may be a secret plan to evacuate Chicago in case of big trouble at the NATO summit next month. The Red Cross in Milwaukee is apparently reaching out to volunteers to help prepare shelters for any Chicagoans who are suddenly relocated. CBS2's Mike Parker uncovered the story.
CBS2 News has obtained a copy of Milwaukee Area Red Cross email sent out to volunteers. The message suggests a possible plan to evacuate residents of the city of Chicago during the NATO summit. The conference, the email says, may create unrest or another national security incident. The American Red Cross in southeastern Wisconsin has been asked to place a number of shelters on standby in the event of evacuation from Chicago. That surprise disclosure has some folks who live downtown on edge.
A little unnerving? Very unnerving. I feel a little bit unsafe. Just a little, maybe a little bit more than a little bit. doesn't make me feel like I want to be in the city during the NATO conference.
I'm lost for words because I absolutely have no idea what that entails.
According to a Wisconsin Red Cross spokesperson, the evacuation plan is not theirs alone. She told us, our direction has come from the city of Chicago and the Secret Service. However, officials at the Office of Emergency Management and Communication told us tonight the directive did not come from them. The Secret Service did not return our phone calls.
Of course.
The Chicago Red Cross office said only, we are supporting the city in their NATO planning. A union executive who's been training his members in preparation for the summit believes such a plan might be over the top.
This could be a lot like Y2K. You know, there's a lot of hype and a lot of buildup. People will say that was it, you know, not a big deal.
The idea of having to evacuate Chicago residents is, number one, a scary prospect, which could account for the reluctance to talk about it. Secondly, it's probably also highly unlikely. This seems to be a case of officials wanting every possible contingency plan on the table, just in case, Robin Case.
Still has to make people a little uneasy, nevertheless, though.
We don't want to hear about possible evacuations, but they're planning ahead. They don't want to be...
Well, Bill,
tonight, CBS.
There's 11 million people in Chicago.
Now, I do want to take the government side on this here because of the fact that with NATO coming into being, we may have some wackos out there. It is good, I think, to have a plan in case of a bombing or a gas or chemicals or something. Possibly, how can we get these people out? Where can we put them? So even if it doesn't go into fruition, I think it's pretty important that at least our government's realizing that America, except for the 9/11, we've almost been spared everything. If you look at what goes on in Europe and Asia daily, bombings and blah, blah, blah. And if you look at that goes on, why do we in America think we're so special? And I think it's actually good for the government and the city of Chicago to say, if something happens, we need to be prepared for it. But it's also a sad sight of the times, Philip, that we Americans have to live in fear of some foreign people that are actually some of our own people, too, I guess, that are think that the best way to make change is to destroy things. Best way to make change is to positively build. But bombing and killing, what does that do? What has that done in Africa? What has that done in Europe? Nothing. Genocide, all the black clans killing other black clans. What's that done? Nothing. The Muslims killing the Christians. Christians killing Muslims over there in Israel, Jerusalem, Iran, Iraq. What's that done? Nothing. And yet the killing goes on. So I can see where Chicago and the government and the city of Chicago are saying, we need to be aware of it. But if you live in Chicago, or if I lived in Chicago, that scared the shit out of me, I'm telling you right now. Sorry to get on my little political horse there, everybody.
Well, there's another little tidbit here. Let's see.
Elsewhere tonight, CBS 2 has learned there may be a secret plan to evacuate Chicago in case...
Okay, Bill, this is...
The reluctance to talk about it.
You want to give a play-by-play on what you're looking at there, Bill?
Man, I'm looking at some helicopter flying in between the skyscrapers, probably about the 10th floor. I don't know what the limit is, but that's got to be illegal. That's low. That's American.
That's
Homeland Security.
That's American Chill Exchange.
That's, and they're flying underneath that. That's Homeland Security. That's
black helicopters, Bill.
Yeah. Black Ops?
Black
I
Ops.
I don't know much about that stuff, you know. Look how low they're flying, though. But they've got to be prepared for this. We've got to be prepared that someday, God forbid, America will be attacked, like it was attacked in New York City.
And what I'm going to do is I'll put this link up in the chat room for you guys. There's one. There's the... You can go watch.
I am kind of sad that
you
all those...
You go look at the video Bill and I are looking at
okay,
right now.
I'm kind of sad that all those people that were involved in 9/11, I just assume took them up in a helicopter and just threw them out. That made me feel bad. Don't put them in prison.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Robin Robinson.
And I'm Bob Surratt. Thank you for joining us. Our viewers called in describing men with automatic weapons... helicopters.
Cool with
Chicago's Mike Flannery reports on this developing story live from Lakeshore Drive tonight. Mike?
Well,
Bob, about 90 seconds ago, two choppers came zooming right up the Chicago River here, close enough almost for us to touch them. For those of you who saw the movie Transformers that was shot in this same area, there was a scene in there in which Special Forces elite fighters in helicopters in battle formation came in, vectoring in on the Trump Tower behind me. It was a scene not unlike that. In various parts of the loop this evening. You know, there was a bland press release in early afternoon from City Hall that referred to, quote, a routine military training exercise. Well, there was nothing routine that folks reported about seeing the jarring, as they witnessed the jarring scene of at least three Black Hawk helicopters flying at times in close order formation, at other times separating fairly widely, zooming in and around residential office towers. We talked to several of those who were still a little bit shaken up by what they had seen.
And they were lower than my building in between the towers, so that did make me slightly paranoid. I texted my husband, who's in the military, or was in the military, asking if this was alarming because I could see what color clothing they were wearing. It was frightening. I was definitely alarmed.
And Bill, they're not in the helicopter. They're sitting hanging outside the helicopter.
Yeah, I can see this too.
I was pretty amazed because they were definitely military, and there were definitely guys with machine guns. So I thought that perhaps there was some alarm or concern.
Who was in the helicopters that you saw?
Well, we saw military guys in the helicopters.
They were hanging out of the choppers?
Yeah. Three helicopters in a row, and they kept circling around.
And again, various spokesmen and spokeswomen for several city agencies, including the NATO Summit Host Committee, insist this has nothing at all to do with next month's NATO Summit. Bob, I've got to tell you that some of the folks downtown here are not buying that at all, nor are they buying that phrase that was featured in the press release, quote, a routine military training exercise.
They don't think it's an early rehearsal for the summer air and water show or anything, do they?
No, they don't buy that either. They think it's very much related to what's going to happen next month.
Mike Flannery downtown, thanks.
I hope everybody gets a chance to tune in for that summit. First of all, it's going to make some dramatic results, but whether or not it's peaceful or devastating, nobody knows for sure.
No, because while the Secret Service has not commented on the news, officials at Chicago's Office of Emergency Management and Communication have denied having anything to do with the directive. 2 weeks ago, residents were startled by urban warfare drills conducted, so they didn't do it just one night, Bill. They did it a couple nights.
Hmm. Did you say that announcer? You went to school with that announcer?
Yeah, Bob Surratt, yeah.
Well, that's pretty exciting. He's gone on to lead a successful life, and he's on TV making lots of money.
Me and you are sitting here in my house.
Sitting here. Yeah, it puts everything in perspective, you know? But he's not happy like we're happy, you know?
No.
Well. I've got some friends out in Palatine out there, and that's outside Chicago. I hope you guys are all watching this. I hope you're listening to this, rather. I hope you pay attention to what's happening because it's coming to your city. Let's hope it's going to be peaceful, but we have to assume the worst. And,
well, right now, yeah. And right now, Bill, their wake-up call is just ahead. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. It's digging with the sound.
Well.
Yep, digging with the sound.
I wonder what the people in Chicago are going to get up and go to work that day or just stay home and say, what the hell?
I don't know, but it's not just a drill, Bill.
No, can't, no. Black Ops going into that? No, of course not.
Were the drills,
but they have to prepare.
And they're saying, were the drills really routine or were they part of a larger plan that includes the evacuation of Chicago?
Wait a minute. Are you saying our government doesn't always tell us the full statement?
Well, absolutely, Bill. If you believe that, I'll say some swamp land.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that. I thought whatever they said was that's it. Now you're going to tell me about there really is no Area 51?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Because right here...
The government says no Area 51, so I don't know.
Yeah. you can leave ahead of time, why take the chance of being there? Okay, here. Okay, what should you do? This is their response.
The emergency evacuation plan. Are you ready? Go ahead, please, sir.
Is critical in any situation. If things go bad during the summer, the last thing you want to know is to be caught off guard. If I lived in Chicago, I would immediately start planning for the worst case scenario. It's better to be safe than sorry.
That's right.
See, but now if you're planning ahead and you have more than 2 weeks of food in your house,
mm-hmm.
you're a terrorist, Bill.
That's true. Then.
If you have waterproof ammunition, you're a terrorist, Bill. If you have 40 caliber ammunition, that you're a terrorist. If you can leave ahead of time, why take the chance of being caught up in something that could quickly turn into a life-threatening situation? If you do stay, you need to have a plan of action. Keep in mind that during a disaster, most of the major highways are going to be completely clogged with people trying to get out. Plan now and map out as many escape routes as possible. Be aware that riots can spark off in an instant. Make sure you have a plan of action in case you find yourself in the middle of a full-blown riot. Yeah, what do you do, play dead? Put together an emergency bug-out bag. A bug-out bag is basically a large survival kit filled with everything you need to survive. A big gun, a lot of bullets, and water. The government often runs that you need at least 72 hours worth of supplies on hand at all times. Since most major disasters usually last longer than 72 hours, we think it's a good idea to pack your bag for an indefinite period of time. So they didn't get arrested you for having too much stuff and being a terrorist.
I guess if everything else fails, you bend over, grab your ankles, and
go for
well,
it.
Well, you know how that goes, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. I mean, it's like...
You know, I was in some race riots in Georgia in 1969.
In 1968, I was in that riot, though.
That was crazy.
I walked my mom home from the store carrying, you know how the Pepsis
mm-hmm.
used to come in an 8-pack?
Yeah.
Carrying 7 and the other one in my hand to protect my mom.
I was in a major race riot down south in Georgia. Blacks and whites were going at it crazy, and I just going down the street, and I turned the corner, and I didn't know what to do, so I figured anybody that came near me, I'd try to hit them. I figured that's the only plan I had, because it didn't make any sense. This giant black guy came running at me and said, "Drop, you MF," swung at me, missed my nose by an inch. Drop seemed to make pretty good sense to me, so I fell to the ground. He picked me up over his shoulder and started yelling at everybody, "He's going to take this white piece of shit in this house. He's going to beat the hell out of me." Well, what this total stranger did was pick me up, take me into a house. He and two of his buddies stayed with me all night long until the reserve police and the reserve army and all that, they came and brought some more total strangers in the middle of a race riot, saw that I just stepped into it, pulled me out of the race riot. So, you know, there's good and bad everywhere, boys and girls. I'll never forget that. Don't know who the people were.
Right.
No idea. Don't know why they pulled me out.
So we got all these people in the chat room, Bill. We got nobody wants to chime in with us.
Well, because they
find
we're...
Sean around 7 to talk about Mark Sullivan.
They figure we're boring, that's why.
Yeah.
No. They're just shy like me.
Well.
You're not shy.
Nah. I mean, how long did it take me to call in?
Well, you're not shy.
But you were ready.
Not now.
And, you know, we need to have women call and stuff because we need women's opinion on things. I hate to see just guys talking. And I like the fact that different people bring different perspectives, and that may possibly change my view on something like that. So only through dialogue can we have stuff going. So when so many people want to just listen to us, boring to Philip and I, number one.
Right.
And I know people leave a lot of messages. We like what you're saying. Well, call and say you like what I'm saying, or, hey, I don't like what you're saying at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's dialogue, boys and girls.
Well, we'll take a little break here, Bill. I'd like you to read that.
Are you in that pocket taser stun gun? Hey, you got to read that crazy.
I love it.
People a little laugh,
this is your taser. You tell the story. This is
all
your
right,
taser
go.
Gun.
Go.
This is his story, guys.
Okay. For everybody that's listening, this is called a pocket-sized taser stun gun. Now this guy went into the pawn shop. He said he was looking for something for a great gift for his wife. So he purchased his lovely wife a pocket taser for their anniversary. And he's the one that submitted this story, so we'll start it with that. The occasion was our 15th anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife Julie. When I came across a 100,000 volt pocket-sized taser. first size taser. The taser was supposed to be short-lived with no long-term effects. And allowing her, the effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded two AAA batteries in the damn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, that if I pushed the button and pressed it against the metal surface on the same, at the same time, I got the blue arc electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. This was awesome. Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Julie what the burn spot on the face of her microwave is. Okay, so I was home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself, it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? There I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking at me intently, trusting little soul. While I was reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target, I must admit I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second and then thought better of it. She's such a sweet little cat, but if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against the mugger, I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Was he wrong? Was he wrong, Bill? Okay.
You got to find out the real thing.
Exactly. So there he sat. A pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose. Directions in one hand and taser in the other.
Kind of like you are right now.
Exactly. The directions said that 1 second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A 2 second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and a major loss of bodily control. And a 3 second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. All the while, I'm looking at this little device measuring 5 inches long, less than 3/4 of an inch in circumference, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries. Pretty cute, really, and thinking to myself, no possible way. What happens next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, Gracie looking on with her head cocked to one side as if to say, don't do it, stupid, reasoning that a 1 second burst from such a little tiny old thing couldn't hurt it all that bad. I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prong to my naked thigh, pushed the button, and holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. What the fuck? I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran in the side door, picked me up in the recliner, and body slammed us both in the carpet over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in a fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position, and tingling in my legs. The cat was making meowing sounds I'd never heard before, clinging to a picture frame, hanging above the fireplace, obviously in an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body flopping around on the living room floor. Note, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst. When you zap yourself, you will not let go of that thing until it dislodges from your hand by the violent thrashing about on the floor. A 3 second burst would be considered conservative. A minute or so later, I can't be sure as time was relative to a relative thing at that point. I collected my wits with little I had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bent reading glasses were on the mantel of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down and 8 feet or so from where it originally was. My triceps, right thigh, and both nipples were still twitching. My face felt heavy, like it had been shot with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I had no control over drooling. Apparently, I crafted my shorts, but was too numb to know for sure, and my sense of smell was gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I believe came from my hair. I'm still looking for my testicles and offering a significant reward for the safe return. P.S. My wife can't stop laughing about my experience, loved the gift, and now regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
You really get a kick out of that. I mean, is it the image you're seeing when you're reading this? This poor schmuck laying on the ground.
Exactly.
I have never seen you read something and crack up. Usually, you're very good at reading. You crack up every time reading about it.
Exactly. And I've got no reaction from the crowd here. Hang on.
Nobody cares.
Okay. Hello, Fran.
Yep, that's me. Yep,
hey,
I'm here.
Fran, Bill, how you doing, dear?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Hey,
I think
Fran,
it's humoring.
The cat on the phone from Canada.
I love that one. Hi,
yeah,
Ron.
Although I don't know if I want to be the one digging for the golden jewel.
Me either.
Well, no, he's just offering a reward, Fran.
Oh, only a reward. Okay.
If you ship them, you won't pay much for the shipping. They're just little things.
Oh, then I should be able to just put them in an envelope and put a stamp on it.
It, you know.
They've already been squatting, so to speak. Fried. quick question. There was, I have to go find it, but last Saturday there was on the news where they were saying that there were three states that are actually backing off on the helmet law and other freedoms. Any heads up on that at all, or?
Not yet.
Okay.
So I've heard about that rumor too, but nothing concrete.
No, that wouldn't be a rumor. I'll have to go find it on the, because it was on the news station. And I actually did push the record button. I just got to go find it now. It's a shame that people don't take responsibility for their actions. It's kind of like several years ago on one, I think it was 163 or 15, where someone had lost a ladder off of a vehicle, and unfortunately for a young woman, she ran into it, improperly dismounted, and about 150 cars ran her over. The person who did lose the ladder actually did turn himself in on that, and of course then there was nothing actually done because it was unregrettable accident.
Yeah.
And yet he didn't get fined for the fact that he didn't secure his load either.
Crazy.
Friend, the craziest thing I hit was a dried up Christmas tree fell off the back of a pickup truck and went horizontal across the lanes. And when I hit that dried up Christmas tree, those little pine needles went, it looked like it was snowing on me or something with that. Luckily, at the last second, I was able to find the skinnier end of the tree and hit my bike toward that side. But when Kathy and I hit that tree, unbelievable, unbelievable.
You're lucky. Well, you don't have a chain, do you? I was
That's
say,
the worst thing,
thing
I did. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing it didn't get into your chain. Out of curiosity, did you ever hear any more about the two bikers that were coming to the blessing of the bikes that hit the furniture off the back of a pickup truck?
Say that again?
2 weeks ago, when we had the blessing of the bikes at your shop.
Correct.
On, what is that, 6776, that's over there. There were two bikers that actually had gotten hurt from furniture falling off the back of a vehicle.
I didn't hear about that, friend.
Oh, you didn't hear about that. Okay, never mind then. Pastor Z had made mention that there were two bikers. Not, we don't know if they were coming to the event or not, but they actually had hit furniture that came off of a vehicle. And when you get to the end of a month or the very beginning of a month, and especially when school is out, because now it's easy to, you don't have to worry about transferring a kid from one school to another, is the highest time for moving. But the biggest time of all year, is when school lets out. And that's when you're going to have most of the people out there with bungee cords holding down a mattress. And if you watch the roads, you'll see more and more huge skid marks now.
Fran, you know what that blessing of the bikes, one of the reasons we had that, we're raising money for that six-month-old little girl that was dying of the liver cancer. Did you know that she died the day before the event? Her parents came up to me and they said, you know, we thank you for putting the event on. And, Fran, how do I say to a parents, I'm sorry for the loss of your child. I just couldn't get it out. I just said thank you for being here, but I just didn't know how I could tell somebody, I'm sorry you lost your six-month-old child one day before the big event. That was tough for him.
Well, as you know, those scenarios are always very difficult. I mean, you know that I'm not a person that has difficulty telling it to your face that, oh, by the way, you do that, it's probably going to kick you in the ass and you're going to die. But
yeah.
To be honest with you, when I was teaching in New York, I was teaching National Safety Council, I had a parent come up to me and said, I have a handicapped child, and in the vehicle, all they have are these two little pins that hold the front wheels down, or the back wheels. And I don't really know if it's very safe. Well, because it was not something that was part of my repertoire in teaching, I said, well, I'm going to have to get back to you because I'm going to have to do some research now because I can't give you an answer. I finally chased down the answer where they do the testing of cars and what have you. I got in touch with the man that actually tests wheelchairs and different vehicles. And sadly to say, I couldn't tell this woman to her face that her kid was going to die. I ended up giving this woman the phone number to this man and said, what would be best if you could talk to this man? But I don't understand that doesn't just.
Fran, you're fading in and out. Can you talk into the phone a little bit? We're only hitting like every third word or something like that.
Well, there's some kind of interference that's going on.
Good, good. We got you.
I keep getting interference. Okay. Now can you hear me?
Perfect.
You can. Okay. So, long story short, I actually ended up giving the phone number to the woman, to the specialist that did the testing. Anyone who's in a wheelchair, if they're in a collision, their survival rate is not real high, primarily because they're already physically at a deficit. And, I mean, again, it's kind of like what you just said. How do you tell a parent, I'm sorry for your loss? And no matter what, there's no real answer to that. And anyone that hits me with, well, that's God's choice. Well, you know what?
Brian, we're losing you. We're all over the place. Yes. We can't hear you.
You got to stay in one spot and talk into the phone. You're fading all over the place.
I want to get, like, again, one out of every three words.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And essentially what it comes down to is, you know what? I don't care what anybody says. It ends up being a crime. What would be a bigger crime is if the doctors didn't do their job, everything medically, because of either insurance or money. That's a crime. And that's what you're faced with more and more every day now.
You know, Fran, my problem is that, you know, first of all, you know me for many, 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 many years. I've outlived most people already. I don't feel bad about somebody dying. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to everything. I don't feel bad at all. If I lose somebody, I figure they have no more pain. They've gone to a better place. They're not going to pay taxes. I believe overall it's a good thing. But I just cannot fathom when I have to speak to parents about their losing a child, especially somebody under a year old. That just, I don't understand. I know God's got a purpose for something, but I don't see it. I can't do it that at all. If one of my friends died, Fran, if you kick the bucket tomorrow, I'll say, Fran had a good life. I'm glad for her.
You know I had a good life.
Half child. You've been on overtime for a while, child. But it's those children that I feel so bad about that always, you know. Oh, well, a little depressing.
It makes you wonder. You know, I do the Ride for Kids every year. I'm usually the parking attendant. I do the sign language for In fact, we're the only ride for kids throughout the world, I believe, that has an official sign language interpreter. And you know what? The ride for kids and St. Jude was the only one that would actually treat these children way back in the beginning. And the estimate survival rate for these children were, I believe, if at all, was 2 years. We have the oldest recipient that has actually, I believe, has her master's degree now, or she's working towards getting her master's degree. And you know something? That is awesome. However, for a number of years, the insurance companies turned around and told the parents, let your kid die. You have insurance with us, but let your kid die, because the survival rate is not high enough. It costs too much to even try and keep that child alive. So I'm not exactly a big fan of insurance companies.
When I hear stories like that, I'm kind of pro with socialist countries, when anybody has a right to go into the hospital and get treated for their medical needs. The initial concept of socialism is something I absolutely spit upon, but the fact that these people can go into any hospital and be treated, whereas I, as an American, as soon as I get to the emergency room, they want to know what my insurance company is, blah, 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 blah. That's just wrong. I believe in the one aspect of socialism where any American should have a right to go into any doctor's office or any dentist's office and say, I have pain, please take the pain away. And I think the doctors and dentists have a moral obligation to do that. Only my opinion, boys and girls.
Well, my opinion is that, you know what, they had insurance and they managed to do this. We have, and I'm not going to mention K, whatever it is, that prolong treatment, hoping that their patients will actually disappear. A knee surgery that they put on hold for 5 years. Okay. I mean, like, why bother even do the knee surgery?
Oh.
And that was the one that Turco had on Kaiser. Oh, did I say that? Where Kaiser took a guy's leg off because it was the best thing to do for cancer and then wouldn't give him a prosthesis. So he was like, okay. And they wouldn't give him a wheelchair either, now that I think about it.
Hey, Fran, you know these things more than I do. This question just came to me. They take my leg off. Can I tell them I want to take the leg home with me when I go?
Of course you can.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you can.
Can I wrap it up or something? You know,
you have to sign a release form for it.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, you have to let them know before they take it off that you want the leg. And then what they'll do is they'll put it down in the morgue on ice until you're ready to go home, and you can take it home with you.
All right. I just want to keep my pieces together, you know, just in case.
Well, but you know what? There's a lot of Asians where they technically can't be buried unless they have all their parts. So that would become very important if that was the situation. But I've been interpreting where a person wanted whatever it was that was removed. And they just say, just remind us before you leave and we will retrieve it for you. So yes, it can be done.
Wow. Did you really, Philip was talking about that they passed a new law, the government?
I only caught part of it.
Oh, okay.
I'm still having problems with interference at my end here. Whether it's listening to you through the computer or on the phone, I had to call you 3 times to get through. I'm constantly having difficulties.
Yeah,
because it started out, Fran, with our friends trying to intimidate us again. And what we talked about earlier was Obama makes free speech a felony.
This is a law.
How can you do that?
Good. When you were sleeping. Pay, listen to this now.
Okay. What I'll do is we'll play this for Fran since she's been having trouble, and anybody else that didn't hear it, because the first 6 minutes they shut us down, but we were silent.
Twice, yeah.
So here we go.
Well, it's a bill that has received very little attention but may make free speech a felony and seriously restrict your right to political protest. Just signed into law by President H.R. 347 gives federal agents sweeping powers to arrest and bring felony charges against citizens engaged in protests where the Secret Service is present. Joining us now with more, Fox News senior judicial analyst, good friend Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, the thing that jumps out off the page, felony?
Yeah, felony means more than a year in jail. This is not like a traffic ticket. For standing and protesting, the type of thing that for 230 years Americans took for granted because it was protected by the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, has actually been abridged. Legislation of the last, supported overwhelmingly by both parties, with very, very little public debate and very little debate in Congress, basically allows Secret Service agents to decide where there are no free speech zones, not speech zones, free speech zones. And anybody by the Secret Service can, protected by the Secret Service, can ask those agents to ban protests wherever they are. I can think of three violations, association violations, the right to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. But it's free speech. And the government are so far away from you that they can't hear you.
Judge, what about keeping our elected officials safe?
Keeping our elected officials safe is entirely different from insulating them from protest. The fact that the president is going to a hotel up the block should not bar you from standing across the street with a sign or with a bullhorn saying what you think about the president's policies. That is not a threat to him, and it is a part of American history since day one that we have the right to speak freely to, about, and against those in the government.
Okay, Judge, you think this is going to be one of those laws that is on the books but not enforced?
I think it's one of those laws that's going to be enforced when the government wants it enforced. The problem, Eric, is it puts a lot of unbridled discretion in the hands of Secret Service agents who may very well say, you know what, boss, you've had a rough day. We'll keep everybody away from you. Or you know what, boss, this crowd likes you, so we're going to let them. We're going to let you hear them. That's suppressing speech on the basis of its content, and that has been expressly prohibited by the First Amendment since day one.
What dictates the Secret Service is present? In other words, aren't they present all over Washington, D.C.?
Well, they are, and that's a great question, because this law also allows the president to give Secret Service protection to whoever he wants. I'll give you a bizarre example. His campaign managers are coming to Washington to confer with him about the campaign. He can give them Secret Service protection. And then the Secret Service can say to the kids in the streets, you can't shout at David Axelrod, because the campaign manager, because the Secret Service is protecting him. This is a slow, creeping destruction of some of our basic liberties, and the president signed it in secret.
And now some of the Secret Service are going to be providing services for the candidates now as well.
Correct.
Right? So
correct.
People aren't going to be able to have their opinion about the candidates?
If the Secret Service so declares, you won't be able to shout at
Judge, got to go. The economy's not...
Fran, can you believe what you're hearing? It's already passed. It's already passed. It's on the books. That's you and I directly.
Does this have anything to do with the military man that went against
negative.
The president?
No.
Where the hell did this come from?
They slipped it in. The president signed its law.
They didn't even give anybody a reach around. They just slipped it right in.
No.
My goodness.
Hold on 1 second.
Fran, hold on 1 second.
We got another caller from 619249.
Yep, that's me.
Hi.
Hi, caller. You want to tell us your name? Where you calling from? What city? Maybe.
Yeah, this is Wrench with Wolfpack NC and or Nikki, as you guys call me, Nikki White.
What, Nikki White?
Nikki
White, I seen you wearing shorts at Yuma.
My legs
had legs,
weren't they?
Did not know you had legs. You know that?
Yeah, I have nice white ones. They fit my last name perfectly.
Well, standing next to Bill, we couldn't tell.
That's right, child. Stay next to the Irish boy. You're.
Anyways, I've been in the queue for a little bit, and I wanted to say to Bill when he was talking about socialized medicine, and Bill, with your opinion, I agree with you. So, I mean, you know, sometimes we, like you keep saying that it's the greatest country in the world, and, you know, we hear a lot of bad things that happen sometimes, too. So.
Even, even Marion says she's got long legs, Bill.
Say, yes, she does say that.
I guess they go all the way up, right, Maid Marian?
Yeah.
So what do you think about this?
This new law being passed?
Free speech is a felony.
President signed into law now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, doesn't that say right now, basically, too, like if the Secret Services is listening in on this, that we'd be, you know, we're talking freely and we're having free speech now and saying all kinds of different things, that it could be a felony for us, too. And, I mean, you know, the other thing, too, with felony, I mean, you lose other rights, too, when you have a felony.
That's right.
And
You lose the right to vote. You lose the right to almost everything.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to
tell you guys one thing. Right now we have 15 guys listening in China, or women, but there's 15 people in China. Tell them what happens if they find out where they're at, Bill.
China, we've had the best person in China for so long, because this whole type of program is definitely not authorized in China. From one person for like 2 years, magically overnight, we get up to 15. Now,
yesterday we had 17, Bill.
It doesn't sound like that's an awful lot, but you understand these people in China, it's a big risk what they're doing. They just want to hear what's going on in the free world. I don't think we'll ever be able to get to communicate with them, because obviously they don't want the name and all the student and all that. But here are people who are willing to say what you have to say in America and the rest of the world, they would give anything to have. They're facing possible jail time for listening to us. But here in the rest of the world, we're just doing this as, just for granted.
If I can jump in.
Please.
Now, Tiananmen Square was 15 years ago?
Correct.
And that free speech killed how many people in Tiananmen Square? So, yeah, they're taking a great big risk.
Let's not forget that China, only a few years ago, decided just to go visit its neighbor, Tibet. And while we're visiting them, let's just destroy their temples. Let's kill the monks. Let's kill the nuns. Let's destroy that whole country. Let's force the Dalai Lama to escape into India, where India was nice enough to give him land and properties so the free Tibetan people could live. Now, when this one went on, did America run over there to help the Tibetan? No. Why not? Because there's no oil in Tibet. And we don't want to offend our Chinese friends. And yet we'll go to Kuwait. We'll go to Iran. We'll go anywhere in the Middle East and help strangers. I don't know these people over there. In a heartbeat, we're sending our men and women, our sons and daughters over there. And yet the biggest massacre in my current lifestyle was the whole country of Tibet, wiped out by China. Nobody gave a shit, because we have no interest over there. That's a hell of a country to live in, China. And don't get me going on. I got nothing against Chinese people. This is not racist, sexist, or anything. I like the people. They got a rotten government.
But hang on, you guys, 1 second. Oh, 858.
858, you're on the air. Talk to me.
Disappeared.
All right, don't be shy.
619-518, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you tell us who it is, please?
Philip, this is Sean Kelly. I'm a speaker from Mount Soledad Memorial Association.
Sure, yes, of course.
Hi, Sean, how are you?
Hi, this is Bill Kennedy also.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. I'm doing fine, a little under the weather, but thought I'd get a call. That was me, by the way, at the 858. We just hung up. I got on another phone.
Okay. And what do you think about free speech being a felony now?
Well, I disagree with it, of course. You know, I don't know all the particulars of the case, but you know, it sounds pretty outrageous.
Well, tell us a little bit about Mount Soledad, which, of course, all of us Southern California people, all us veterans, of course, we know where it is. We do many of our motorcycle runs to Mount Soledad. And just recently, we had one of our friends, she had a eulogy for her husband up there just a few months ago. So tell us a little bit about Soledad, what you want to talk about, sir.
Well, I like to talk about a lot of things. I can tell you right now, we have an upcoming Memorial Day ceremony. May 28th, of course, on the Monday, and we're looking for volunteers, people who would like to come up there and enjoy the ceremonies and help us raise some flags, as well as helping with parking. It's a pretty big show. We'll have some local dignitaries, of course, as well as our standard T-38 flyover. It's pretty spectacular if you haven't seen it. I don't know. You're up in Oceanside, aren't you? Have you ever been up there to see it?
I've been to Mount Soledad more times than you can possibly imagine, my friend. There's nothing more special. There's nothing more beautiful. I do have a kind of a little stone in my shoe that kind of bugs me. There's so many senior citizens that want to go there, and parking, as we know, is a little bit distant, and it's uphill.
Yeah.
Will you be running
any
shuttles for that program?
We will be running shuttles. Around the La Jolla Presbyterian Church, which is just down the road, has lots of parking there, and we'll be running shuttles all throughout, as well as over on the other side, down Via Capri, there's a UCSD has some type of monitoring station. We pick up there as well. And also the French American School across the street from the Presbyterian Church will be picking people up there also.
Can you give the date again, please, and time?
It's May 28th. That's Monday, May 28th. And the program begins at 2 and runs at about 3:15. And like I said, you know, it's just really, it's really patriotic. And, you know, it's all about the veterans. That's what I'm there for. That's what I believe in. And it's this year we're going to be honoring President and General Dwight David Eisenhower. His plaque is going to be mounted up on our walls. And, you know, I can give you a little history about the memorial, about the people that are up there. It's all about it, if you'd like to hear also.
Well, I know the Blue Spider Man is there.
You have a great slogan up. If you love freedom, thank a vet and our active military. I like that. And above it, I'm reading something small, HBO. What does that have to do with the program, sir?
HBO?
Yes.
Oh, they're a sponsor. They're making a contribution to help us put on the ceremony. A lot of people aren't aware of it, but unlike the Washington, D.C. Memorial, we are not federally funded, even though it is a U.S. national memorial. Everything that you see there, the black granite walls and so forth, is all a reflection of how our community feels about veterans. It's all paid for by donations, memberships, and the plaque sales themselves. And that's one of the things that I'm most proud about our memorial there is the fact that it wasn't just a congressman, you know, with a sweep of a pen saying this is going to happen. It's a true reflection of how people feel about it.
I know I can speak for myself, and I know Fran's going to be there, and I'm sure Art's going to be there. I have a small question, though, again, because I'm kind of funny. On the parking lot down below, could there be a small area for the motorcycle parking only? I do not wish to leave my motorcycle in a church or at the French American School or any place else. But down at the parking lot, down below where the porta potties are, I can still see my motorcycle. You think a small area could be put off for motorcycles?
Philip, I'm going to find out. I'm going to speak with Joni Miyashiro-Brennan, our executive director, tomorrow, and I'll ask about that. But I'll tell you right now, you give me a call, and I promise I'll take care of you.
And what I'll do is, again, this is Bill Kennedy speaking. I'm going to talk to the American Legion riders, which, of course, are all vets and all that. I'm going to have one of them reach you because they'll contact all the American Legion posts and all that, and they'll get an idea of what's going on. So I'll get back to you on that one. But this is Bill Kennedy's, but I'll get with the American Legion riders.
And, Sean, let me ask you this.
Know how many are going to be there.
Okay.
I'll figure it out,
Let me ask you this. Did you want me to give people your email or the other email?
Well, it doesn't matter. You can use mine or the one that you see on our website, SoledadMemorial.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just having a little trouble. We're getting screwed with tonight, and that one's the easiest one I can get to right now.
Okay.
Can you tell us, well, I know, but some of the people listening to like to know, do you know how many crosses we've had on Mount Soledad since the beginning?
Three. The first one was
Yes, I know that's correct. I'm sorry. I know you know. Could you tell everybody about the three crosses? That wasn't a trick question. I wasn't trying to trip you up. I knew you knew that. I want you to tell everybody why we've had three crosses.
Well, the first one was erected in 1913, and it was a wooden one. It was burned down by some vandals. The second one, I believe, it decayed. You might know this. You might already know this. And then, of course, the third one was erected by the La Jolla American Legion post in 1954.
Now, I understand, actually, that I don't want to give these vandals any publicity and all that, but I understand that this was a quite an organized vandalism, if you would. And at one point in time, they had chapters and organizations all across America. And I'll even say they initiated from the South, but I don't wish to give them any advertisement at all. But they burned the cross down. That's what I always heard.
Let's not plug them. You're right. Yeah.
And I just want to let that go out there. Yeah.
I've got up.
We've had quite
time.
A history with that. And the fact that Christians, especially Christian veterans, want that cross there. I have debated on many issues with atheists, and I will say this again to any atheist that's a veteran, listen to me. If you want to put a block wall up and you want to acknowledge those atheist veterans that want to be acknowledged, I will help you put the wall up. I will help you. I will donate money to put the wall up. I will celebrate any veteran. But I'm also telling you atheist veterans, leave our cross alone.
I agree with you 100%.
Tear down. We will build. We will help you build something. Any veteran I will acknowledge. But don't tear down. That's America. We build. We acknowledge. We add. So I hope that cross is there for all generations.
I believe it will be. It's an interesting fact. A lot of people aren't aware that, you know, a lot of people believe that it's a Christian memorial, which is not the case. There are Stars
Correct.
Of David, there's Buddhists, there's all the people, atheists, agnostics, you name it. And another thing that people, a misconception about that memorial is people believe that you have to be deceased, which is not the case. 70% of the people up on that wall are still alive, still here with us today. That's interesting.
Well, if any of my friends are thinking about putting my name up there, for God's sake, somebody tell me. I don't want to be up there one day looking and find my name up there if I'm still breathing. So don't anybody do me that favor unless you're going to tell me, all right?
Pardon me?
I would say if any of my friends are listening, do not put my name on that wall while I'm still alive unless you're going to tell me. I do not want to be up there visiting one day and say, hey, that's me. No surprises, please, all my friends out there. What made a guy like you get interested in this program? Do you mind my asking?
Well, that's actually a good question. A lot of people, you tend to see people, veterans, involved with veterans organizations. And my family has been in the military for generations going back to the early 1800s, yet I'm not. My father, who was a Korean War Navy veteran, when he passed away in 06, I was up there reflecting, and, you know, like anybody else who's just lost a loved one, I was feeling kind of down. And I was sitting up there looking at the spectacular view, and I realized, you know, I'm still very blessed. And, you know, I reached a point in my life where I wanted to give back, and I made a phone call to our CEO, William J. Kellogg, who put me in touch with the office. And I thought it was just going to be something I was going to do while I was thinking about my pop. And, you know, here it is, you know, 7 years later, and, you know, I'm going strong. I believe it's something I'm going to do for my entire life.
You know, I want to point out that I find quite ironic that when I'm up at the cross, that I'm looking at, I'm on the motorcycle, obviously, and I'm looking at cars from different states. I'm looking at foreign visitors. And I talked to people here in San Diego. So many people have not taken the time to drive up to the cross, and yet people from out of state and out of country, they treat it almost like it's mystic up there. They're so in awe being there. And we local San Diego, we just assume it's there so we don't bother to take the time.
Yeah, you hit it on the nail there, Phil. It's amazing. The people that come there, they're from other countries. Sometimes they don't even speak English, and it's really nice. And they walk the walls. They don't simply take a gander at the beautiful ocean, but they actually walk the walls. And if anyone has ever done there, they know that this is a unique memorial. Unlike other memorials where they simply have a statue or maybe state the person's name, you have photos and you have their story, you know, and there are stories through there. There's private first class unknowns that you've never heard of. There's presidents of the United States, General Patton, Glenn Miller, local boy Cliff Robertson. It just goes on and on, and all these stories. It's incredible, and they read them, and they're amazed, and they write us all the time, often saying that it was the highlight of their trip to San Diego.
You know what? I have to call you on because you omitted. When I'm up there, there are so many women veterans that gave their lives for this service, for this country. So many women are on there in their plaques, walk around and hear their stories, read their stories. We constantly forget how many women gave their lives for this military. It's not
That's
just the men,
now.
Although we accidentally refer to guys. Please look at all the beautiful women up there. They got their stories up there. It's fantastic.
You know, Bill.
What, buddy?
We just got an instant message where someone, one of these women, I'm not going to say who, but they just said, don't tell me what to do unless I have, or no, wait. Don't tell me what to do unless you have big boobs. So I got to.
It wasn't me.
Okay, I got you.
I guess
you
we got a woman that's telling us we can't tell her what to do unless.
Okay,
all right. Big boobs.
Okay,
well, whatever.
You know, this is what dialogue's all about. It's give and take. Give and take. You know, I say again, and I do comment so much about the fact that we don't acknowledge our women veterans, especially today where these landmines are knocking over our Jeeps and all that. Women are coming back missing an arm, missing a leg, shrapnel on their face. When I'm down talking to them, they say to me, look at Bill, I got no leg. Who's going to take me dancing? Look at my face, Bill. Who's going to take me out? And they say to me, Bill, we women can see a man missing an arm or a leg, shrapnel on his face, based upon his character. We women can see a man, but you men are so shallow. Look at me, Bill. Who's going to take me out? Just recently, I'm just going to wrap it up with this here. I spoke to a lady that was shot from above by a sniper recently. It went in through her breast, came out between her legs. Now, she was healed of the wounds and all that, but one of the side effects, if you would, was she'll never have any children. And she says, all she wanted was the choice to have children or not have children. She's a 20-something-year-old. I won't say her name or like that, but that's one of the wounds we don't even think about. A wound should go away. That woman's wound will never go away. There are a lot of women out there that we need to acknowledge. And I'm sorry I got my soapbox again, everybody. Let's get back to Mount Soledad. That was important. I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, no,
well,
no need to apologize.
I think that's important.
That's a good story.
That's important for everybody to hear and remember. I mean, that's reality.
Well, you're all too kind. I sometimes go off on that, but You have to understand how many veterans I help and how many women I talk to. It's a tough call. Tough call.
Had I known you were going to bring that up, I would have been better prepared. The name slips me right now, but I'm sure you all recall the first female prisoner of war taken captive in during the Iraqi war. Again, I her name slips my mind, but she has been honored up on our wall. I forgot.
Yeah, her name's right on the tip of my tongue. Jessica, maybe? No.
Yes, there you go. That's her first name.
That was a that lady did it. That woman's got a lot of post-traumatic stress to deal with. I'd like to say one small story, but you guys got to hear this too. A while back, I was at a veterans retirement home in San Diego. They found a Vietnam veteran who did not receive his unit citation because of paperwork snafu. I was down there with a couple colonels, and they were real nice and tight and all that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, why am I here? They said, Bill, we want you just to talk to the people. Don't make it just a ceremony. So I was glad to get up and speak afterwards. They said, before you leave, you have to meet this woman. And I said, oh, absolutely, of course. What chance will I ever go without meeting a woman? I would never miss that opportunity in my life.
No, no.
I wouldn't do that. So I spoke to this lady. They took me over to a retirement home in San Diego, and I cannot remember her name. She was a World War II Army nurse captured by the Japanese. Now, I just want you to think about this for a second or two. She told me the only purpose that kept her alive was that she had knowledge of medical skills, and she was able to talk to some of the local people and get some of the weeds, the herbs, whatever she could do, because the Japanese wouldn't give them any first aid equipment at all. She kept herself alive by using her skills to keep other people alive. But when she was speaking, she could not say the word Japanese without spit coming out. Her whole focus in life to stay in that concentration camp all those years was to help other prisoners. I think that's amazing. I'd have gone over the wire. I'd have said, you know what, I can't help everybody. Little Billy's got to go. She stayed there and wouldn't die, wouldn't give in, because she was there to help all the prisoners. I think that's a fantastic story.
I do too. And, you know, we don't know what we would do in those circumstances. The only thing we can do is be thankful and grateful for those who did it for us.
Yeah, exactly. No more stories. I'm sorry, everybody. I got on my soapbox again. Sorry.
Why are you letting me get off? We're talking about Mount Soledad.
What's your problem out there?
If I can, if people would take the time and go check Charles Plum, and he was and he calls it parachute packing. He was a Vietnam prisoner of war, and he is one of the best motivational speaker I have ever heard, had the opportunity to interpret for. And if anyone has issues, take the time and listen to his speech. Take the time. And you know something? There is no space for self-pity. None whatsoever. Revenge, there is no place for revenge. Because it doesn't do anybody any good to go after revenge. It just breaks more problems, more hearts, and the person is never satisfied doing the revenge anyway.
Fran, do they say revenge? If you're going to go after revenge, you dig two graves, one for the person you want to kill and one for yourself. Is that an old saying
correct.
I remember?
That's correct. That is correct.
It's a very old saying. I'm a very old guy. I remember that stuff.
Well, I haven't heard that one in a long time, honey. Must come from the same school. So on the 28th, yes, I do have plans on being there. I have to put it onto my calendar now. I will be there, of course, a little bit earlier than that. Is there anything else that he would like to have? Is there anything that they're going to be doing? Do they need prizes or presents or whatever?
Well, there will be, you know, there will of course be snacks and drinks present for our guest, and the ceremony surprisingly it's really not that long. It's only about an hour and a half. There'll be speakers, of course. There'll be a band playing, and of course local media coverage, and then we usually wrap it up with a T-38 flyover afterwards, and that's about it, really. It's just a call to let everybody know that we're here, that we do remember everyone, and we do honor them.
Even honor those of us who were not allowed into the military?
Absolutely.
That's good. They told me I was not military material. I was refused twice. Yeah, well, whatever. It was their loss.
We need to have a special place for people like me who were drafted. Now, you people that joined, you went there to sign. I went there after they pulled my hands away from the telephone pole. They dragged me down the street. So there's a special place, I hope, for us draftees. In fact, next time I go up there, I'm going to walk all around there and see if I can find one draftee up there. There's got to be somebody beside me that was drafted.
Oh, I'm sure. There's many of them. Unfortunately, you know, we customize each plaque. We work with the donor or whoever's purchasing the plaque, and that's generally not something that they choose to put on there. But I'm sure countless. I mean, if you find, you're going to find a lot of Vietnam veterans, World War II, on. We go all the way back to the Revolutionary War, by the way. And you know, of course, you know there were drafts, you know, throughout these wars, and you could pretty
New
much.
New York draft riots were phenomenal. They didn't mess around those days. We're not going. We're going to have riots. What do they do when they call Bill Kennedy? I just went along with the program. But during the Revolutionary War, you're right. They had riots. Civil War, they had major draft riots. I ain't going. But I didn't do that at all. I just went. Sorry.
Well, I personally want to thank you for that. You know, you sacrificed not simply – you know, your physical being, but your time, and again, that's why I'm there. I truly believe that us as Americans reap the benefits of everyone who did serve, and I think
I
it's taken
that.
For granted. All
that.
And basically, you've got one, two, about six shows you can talk to us before
we want
event.
You to come back again. This show won't be enough. We need to remind the people about what's going on. Philip, how can we best schedule this, maybe?
He's got eight shows before this, that May 28th.
Do you want to come on every other week and say something before the event, or what do you feel comfortable with?
I would love to.
We think it's that important a deal.
Right. And then if you can send me some flyers or drop them off at Bill's, and we'll make sure to get around for you. Because on May 15th at Big Harley Davidson is the military
appreciation day.
For
the troops, I'll be there. I'll be on my bike.
Okay.
We'll see you there. If you look at a picture of me and Bill on the website, you'll know what we look like.
If you're there,
I'll look for you, gentlemen.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, if I can also mention May 5th, I believe it's over in Coronado. They're going to be doing a Wounded Warriors, and I believe they're taking the Wounded Warriors out into the water and so forth. I hope there's going to be people that are going to be able to attend that.
Well, Fran, I'm sorry.
Information.
We're taking the Wounded Warriors out in the water and doing what?
I think the Wounded Warriors are going to be learning to surf and so forth.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. No, I had no idea what, you know, a boat ride or
be,
I didn't know.
It's going to be May 5th. I will get you more information on that.
Okay.
And so that we can also support those that are still with us, which is always a nice thing. But,
well, thank
but definitely.
You. And thank you, Phil and Bill.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out there, too, this is kind of on the same vein. Philip, you have a celebration coming up.
May 5th, Bill. At 9:30 at night, Bill. Now, this is the 14th shift, Bill. All the other ones were during the daylight hours.
I understand. You're
before
rubbing
9
in.
O'clock, which you weren't available for.
I understand.
But this one is going to be at 7:30 at night. Fireworks, TV, everything. It's the last in class of the ship. It's a replenishment ship, which belongs to the Marine Corps now. And
is it a big thing?
It's a big thing.
Okay, a big ship.
It's a big ship.
Okay. And you're inviting me to come on down. And Philip builds ships, not boats. He builds those big honking suckers.
And I work on the military ships as well, Bill.
And he always invites me down to the when the ship goes in the water and they break the champagne over it. But he has them in the morning, so I never, ever, ever, ever go. Fran, you know.
Exactly right.
Fran knows I'm not getting up in the morning. So we're going to have one at nighttime.
Right. It's open to the public at 6:30.
Fran, you want to come on down? Nikki, you want to come on down?
Because this is what this
is. John, you want to come down?
Right. What this is.
But where am I coming and when?
May 5th. 28th and Harbor Drive. And what it is this is the last shipyard in the world, Bill, that launches from a ways. So there's two side
from
by
what?
A ways.
I don't know what that means.
The boat slides into the water.
Okay. So the boat goes in, the bow goes in.
No, and goes in first.
You put the ship in backwards.
Right.
What do I? Why is the ship? Why am I going to see a ship going in backwards?
Because all the weight is in the back, Bill.
I thought the bow goes in. That's the front. The skinny part's the bow, right?
Yeah.
Why isn't that going in
that
straight?
That goes in last.
That doesn't make sense to me. The boat's going in backwards. Oh, my God. That's our military, ladies and gentlemen. We're putting the ship in backwards. Okay. All right.
Well, I'm going to leave you guys on that note. I'll let another caller get in.
Yeah. All right, dude.
Anyway, join us for that if you want.
Sean, you can join us either Tuesday or Wednesday, or Tuesday or Thursday of next week. Mm-hmm. Whatever is convenient for you.
Thank
and
you
then
all.
Whatever you'd like to talk about, send me a little dossier, and so Bill and I are aware, so we can.
Yeah, listen, Sean, I'm never on the Tuesday show. Don't bother to call Tuesday at all. Call me on Thursdays. Let you and I talk. I want you to come on down and see that ship, too, that Philip's going to put in backwards in the water.
That I got to see. Bye now.
The boat going backwards. Come on, that doesn't. Does anybody believe that? Has anybody ever seen a
no,
ship
actually,
going backwards?
Yes, I've seen them do it already.
Going
thank you,
backwards?
Fran. Thank you, Fran.
Yeah,
that friend
do.
Likes you better than me anyway.
No, it's nothing. I've seen it done, and it does make it. In fact, I think that was the day they tried to crack the bottle over, and it wouldn't break.
Wouldn't break, exactly.
It didn't break. That was not good.
Well, you know what happened? The guys that did that, they stuck the champagne bottle in the freezer, and it froze. That's why it wouldn't break.
Oh. Well, that was stupid.
Yeah,
we'll make that.
Well, yeah, that guy, he got a vacation for a couple of days.
Fran, for Christ's sake, they're being backwards. Of course, they got problems there.
Well, just it depends on your point of view.
Well, I'll be there watching the ship go in and backwards.
Okay, we lost Sean, but well, we have Nora sitting in the weeds.
Nora,
hi,
Nora
how are you?
Hi, Nora. How are we doing tonight?
Oh, not too bad. Sorry I got on late. I had some stuff I had to take care of first.
Oh.
Things that
so
were hesitant.
Talking about that the plan is they might evacuate Chicago?
Yeah, did you hear about that,
Oh,
Nora?
Yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. I had to put it out there. The government is planning to evacuate Chicago for the NATO summit meeting in May.
We have to have a plan if attacked. You know, at first I was a against it, but now I'm realizing that even if they don't actually utilize it, if we don't have a plan, we're not going to be prepared. So
exactly.
How long can America think it's so special it's not going to be attacked? We have, again, people in Europe. We have people in the Middle East. Every country is being attacked by crazy people. We have to have a plan. It's kind of scary.
Unfortunately, it's the government. It's not like, you know, I don't think anybody expected this, but some
no.
people aren't even believing it. They think it's just, you know, put out there in a manner of like a scare tactic to keep the demonstrators at bay. That's not, the demonstrators are already here. They have been since March.
Now, Philip, you're involved in the military a bit more now. You knew something was going on in Camp Pendleton a while ago, and you told me that they've been planning some of these military bases, just starting to kind of get ready for a possibility.
Yeah, they have a thing out there built. It's like a little town that they train them in. Just like when I told you they were doing that thing up in L.A.
Yeah.
And I got the email today about Chicago.
Yeah.
And I wrote my comment to everybody was, see, you people don't listen to me when I tell you it's going on.
No, we don't listen to you. It's just that this is America. We don't believe it's going to happen. We didn't believe that 9/11 was going to happen. We didn't believe those towers were coming down. We just didn't believe it because in America we've been so lucky. Distance-wise, we're away from all the crazy people. But it won't be forever. And we at least have to be military prepared.
Exactly. So, what else is going on there, Nora, besides everybody in a panic?
Well, I'm not in a panic. I'm not in Chicago. I'm on the border of the Chicago proper. I'm in a suburb. So, nobody's getting prepared. Nobody's doing anything. Not that I'm aware of. Everybody is just going on with life as it is and, you know, not thinking that this is going to take place. They think, you know, like I said before, it's a scare tactic. But, you know, if they do, where are they going to put the city of Chicago? You know how big it is. You grew up here. You know. Where are they going
to
put all these people?
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't fit them all in my house.
Plus, that will be businesses shut down, schools, et cetera, rioting. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, that's what they're expecting, because if you have paid attention in the past where at previous summit meetings, you know, all between with the demonstrators, the damage in regards to the violence, you know, that breaks out with all the summit meetings. You know, they're expecting it large here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, did we have Art? I didn't mean to stop Nora. Do we have Art in the line still? I haven't heard from Art.
Art never called in, Bill.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Because I said I didn't want to, if we have all these women, let's dump Art, but I didn't mean that personally, though.
Marion said to let you know that she made Kathy her Mac salad and will deliver it tomorrow.
Well, I haven't had dinner tonight. Why do people? I need help. I need food. I need people to cook for me.
I'm hungry.
Nora, what
do
you have for dinner?
Dinner.
You didn't have dinner yet?
No. So let's go eat.
What are you hungry for? Well, I got to tell you very quickly. I was in Arizona. We stopped at the Golden Corral, and I had a giant salad, and I had food, blah blah. I had chicken, on. And I saw the man making steak, and I love steak with fat. Oh, man, I had a piece of that, too. It was too much food. I got it all down, and I was sitting there, and I was just smiling. The cook came over to me, and he said,
really? It just come to you there, buddy. I know you think you got special attention, but he didn't just come to talk to you. The only difference
did
was...
Did he talk to you?
But you got the first steak.
He got me another piece of steak. Don't listen to his story. His story is not as much interesting.
I know. His stories are always bad. That's why I always like those days, because I get to hear yours. Remember, I get stuck with him on Tuesdays.
I know. That must be myself.
And you're not there. And, you know, Art always complains because we're always unsupervised. We don't have a supervisor.
Well, you know, like tonight again, you know, he's got his white crew socks on. He's got his tidy whitey underwear on. He's got this white fitted.
Oh, tidy whiteys.
Well, you know,
I'm not telling you what I have.
Sitting here, and I'm going to, you know, this is what I have to put up with. Just picture crew socks, tidy whiteys, and a wife beater t-shirt. That's how he's dressed there. It's just, I don't know. That's why I need people to check on me, because who knows? Escape to Nevada. Are we leaving?
No.
Oh, my God. It is starting to wrap down, though.
Yeah, we're down to the last few bits here. I want to thank everybody for calling in.
Yes.
And better yet, she says, well, stop by on your way home. You can pick it up if you're hungry.
Well, there you go. See? There's people out there to help you. You're not by yourself.
I get Chicago and I turn left to get dinner tonight. How is this?
Yeah,
well, if you travel 2,000 miles, you know, you could have a good meal. Yes.
Nicole says we need to have a rule that Bill starts his stories with this is the true story.
Nikki White, you would do this to me. Now that hurts. That really hurts. I remember when Nikki White was just a shy little quiet person, and then
still is.
Now I'm getting zapped on the.
Still is.
How many countries are we in tonight?
38.
I'm getting zapped by my good friend Nikki White. 38 countries.
Oh,
all right.
38 countries.
Not everybody wants to speak, but so many people here, they type us messages and they just want to listen to us. They want to hear what's going on in our country. But I wish more
right.
people tell us some of the dilemmas, the concerns in your countries. We do want to hear it.
And just to let you guys know, on Tuesdays it's not slow or easy. It's a good night too, but
I didn't say it wasn't a good night.
But we're down to the last
Commando night, and I missed it.
Thursday night's better night.
I know.
Okay,
yeah. And,
let's wrap it up with a good musica song.
Yeah, well,
I gotta run out and get some food. Well, you know what? You kind of liked this guy last time. This is from the group Everlast, and the song is called "What's It Like? What's It Like Tonight?" If you know the words, sing along. Oh, it's a new song.
I sing bad.
Just might know if you want to deliver it tonight.
No, I'm going to stop and get some chicken at Popeye's. Thank you, dear, though. I want some spicy chicken.